The following audio is from Cross Life Church in Tampa, Florida. We are a church that exists to help people find Christ, their place in the body, and their mission to the world. Our calling is to raise leaders and plant churches. So if you live in the Hudson area or near Wesa Chapel, you can also check us out at one of our other locations. For more information, visit us at crosslife.net.
You know, Pastor Tracy has been teaching out of the book of 2 Timothy, but today, if you don't mind opening your Bible to the book of Psalm 37, and we're going to look at the first 8 verses, 1-8. And I titled this message, The Pathway to a Joyful Christian Life. Read it with me. Verse 1, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Love this verse. I mean, Keith and I were talking about it this morning. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his ways, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. You know, as I was reading this passage, some questions came to mind. What was it like for a believer of God Almighty, Yahweh, in the Old Testament? What did they believe? What was their experience of God personally and corporally? Did their belief make them joyful, or was it a burden or maybe a problem for them? See, as we look through the writings of the book of Psalm, we discover that here is indeed the same God that is now disclosed to us in Christ Jesus. We also discover that the people then were of the same nature as the people today. We also see that they were facing the same kind of life we face in today's world. So no matter then or now, we know that when we read through scriptures, we find that God enhances our joy. He enhances our joy and bears our burdens. I was visiting Ayana in Pensacola this past week, and I was driving back. I was listening to a sermon. I had a lot of good conversation with Ayana while I was there with her, just myself and her. And as I was listening to this sermon, some powerful words that the preacher said. He's saying, I want to quote it because I don't want to mess this up. He says, when you seek more of God, you will find more of him. When you find more of him, you will seek more of God. See, Jeremiah 23:13 came to mind. So we often talk about Jeremiah 23:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, not plan for evil, but for good, right? To give you a future and to give you a hope. But Jeremiah 23:13, 2 verses later, says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So he wants us to seek him with all of our heart. But in order to be able to do that, we just read on Psalm 37, verse 1-8, that we need to delight ourselves in what? In the Lord. That's one. We need to commit ourselves to the Lord. We need to be still and we need to wait, and we need to refrain from anger. I tell you, it's easy for us to say, but it's so hard for us to do. Psalm was written when he was older. How I know that? In verse 25, he says, I have been young and now I am old. So that means David have seen things in his life. See, David seek God with all his heart and knew that the only way for him to find joy was trusting and obeying him. David addressed a problem that has overwhelmed the people of God since the dawn of time. The problem is, why do wicked, and hear me out, why do wicked seem to prosper while the righteous suffer? See, this problem is also addressed in other books of the Bible, in Psalm 73 and 49, in the book of Job. See, whether we will admit it or not, it is a problem with which we also struggle from time to time. I know I do. I know I do struggle at times with this problem. There have been many times when I am asking God the same question. I get angry. I get angry at the injustice that you see today. But you see, not only in the political world that we see today, and I'm not going there, but in our own work, place of work. See, I have seen with my own eyes when lazy people get the better position and the hardworking get pushed to the side to make room for the lazy ones. I have seen when the person should get the promotion is passed by because the other person, though less qualified, know the hiring manager. I have seen when there are people that take advantage of those who rather not face conflict. See, some of you know I was in the Navy, and I was stationed in the USS Carrier, and we were in the Persian Gulf. And when you're on a ship, you actually have to work 7 days a week, 12 on, 12 off. So you got to work your 12 hours, and then you're off the other 12 hours. However, I noticed something, what was going on. I saw there was a place that we called the pit. So the pit is a place where every smoker went to during work hours. I never liked smoking. Can I just tell you, I never liked smoking cigarettes. But what I say, man, hold on a second. Those people are taking advantage. I'm going to buy me some pack of cigarettes, and I'm going to become a smoker. And yes, Valdez was in the pit is smoking cigarettes because that was the only way that I was able to get some time off. Okay? I'm not proud to say that. But I say, man, if they do it, I sure can do it as well. See, verse 1 says, verse 1 and 2 says, envy is condemned. Especially when the object of that envy is a lost person. See, don't worry about or be jealous of the sinner's possessions. They cannot take them with him when they die. See, 1 Timothy 6:10 talks about love of money and material things is the root of all evil. So rich people will soon pass from the earth. They will have no heavenly reward, not because they are riches, but because they reject it. Almighty God. Sometimes it doesn't seem, it does seem that the wicked prosper while the godly suffer. Yet we always need to be reminded that for the wicked, their few days of pleasure are very short. In fact, this world is as close to heaven as they can ever be. Let me give you this quote from John Piper. Some of you know who John Piper is. He said in one of his sermons, envy is a universal threat to our joy and to our concern for other people. So since we are told not to worry, and that's easy for us to do, don't worry, When we see wicked prosper, how are we supposed to deal with this problem? Because I tell you, I get angry when I see injustice. I'm sure some of you do as well. See, I'm often worrying about all sorts of things, especially now that Ayana is in Pensacola, so close to us, but yet so far. I know Mommy and I are talking about, is she eating well? Is she sleeping well? Is she getting together with other believers for encouragement? Man, how is her walk with Christ? Is she reading God's word daily and often? See, I'm sure we can go on and on all the things that we worry. See, the good news is that verse 3-A offers us some ways of what to do when we are worrying. See, these are examples offer if, and again I say if, follow, will enable us to find peace even during the most trying times of our lives. So, verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. So point 1 is control your walk. See, the emphasis of this verse is for the believer to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord, not pleasing to me or you. It's got to be pleasing to Him. So how do we do that? It's by trusting in the Lord. So when this is accomplished, the result will be the Lord's smile upon that life. So there is a command given in this verse. If you see with me, the command is trust in the Lord. So that is walk by faith and not by sight. We must remember that things are never as they appear to our human vision. Man, I'm telling you, I am telling this to my daughter Ayana often. It's not what it appears. I'm telling that to myself often. It's not what it appears. Even when things look like they're going totally wrong in our lives, God is still working. Out His eternal purposes in us. Pastor Tracy mentioned this 2 weeks ago. He said in Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to what? His purpose. So therefore, we must learn to trust in the Lord. We got to trust in the Lord for our life. Trust is faith. You got to have faith. It is the proper starting point for all right relationship with God. Yet, as always, faith is not simply passive, but there's got to be an action. He's telling you, trust in the Lord. So there are times when God's way is difficult to figure out. Man, I know I struggle sometimes. Because when things go wrong, what's the first thing we want to do? I want to see if I can get it done my way. Instead of waiting for Him. See, during those times when you cannot find God, learn to trust Him even more. Remember what Paul says in Romans 1:17. He says, For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So the life of faith is the only way to please the Lord according to Hebrews 11:6. It says, and without faith it's impossible to what? You got to have faith. You got to trust Him. So then, I think the reason why he also mentioned trust in the Lord and then do good, it means that the person who is quietly trusting God will experience the life and power of God in his or her life, and that this new life will spread itself by doing good to others. See, that's the second command that he gave us in verse 3. He says, do good. This is a command to holy living. God expects, and let me just say this, God expects, He expects His people to live a life that is honoring to His name. If God's people could ever learn that God is pleased when we live for Him, we will see Him bless us in great ways. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things will be what? Added to you. So here's something what I was reading this morning. I love it when something that Jesus say is so clear, because that verse is clear. He didn't say, seek him first, but after our second cup of coffee. I got to say second because, you know, I like my first cup of coffee. He didn't say, seek him first, but after you have read the paper or watched your favorite news show. He didn't say, seek him first, but now before your spouse or family. He didn't say, seek him first, but not after your career goals or work. He didn't say, seek him first, just behind any personal goals or dreams you might have. He didn't say, seek him first behind all of the church work and stuff that you got to accomplish first. He didn't say, seek him first, but only if you don't have anything better to do. He didn't say, seek him first if you feel him close or if you have hit rock bottom. He didn't say, seek him first, but only after you fret and worry about it first. No, he didn't say any of this. You know what he said? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So in the midst of passage where he's telling us not to worry about our life, what we will eat and what we will drink, or our body and what we will wear, Jesus says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all of these things will be added to you as well. You see, it's got to seek him first. See, the question that I'm asking myself this morning, maybe we should all ask, is what is it or who is it that we're putting before our relationship with God? What is it or who is it that we're putting before our relationship with God? What is it or who is it that we are seeking first? You know, Pastor Tracy called me on Tuesday and said, Jamil, you know, I got to go to meet the need. Can you please prepare something for Sunday? I'm like, listen, what do you want me to do? You want me to do 2 Timothy? I'm like, whatever God put in your heart. I say, well, good, because I've been reading on Psalms 37. And this question, I'm telling you, I mean, what am I putting first? But you see, verse 3 gives us also a comfort, a feeling of ease during these times of trouble. When we do his will, he will take care of us. Isn't that nice? When we do his will, he will take care of us. How well did David knew this? He was an old man who had seen the Lord allow him to sit on his enemy's throne. He knew that serving God always pays off. Man, that's some good news. See, the whole point here is, if you walk with your faith and trust in God and will live your life to please him, he will commit himself to taking care of you. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Every need, all of our need. He doesn't say some, he says all. God's promise is to supply all that he sees we need. See, the thing is, he will supply all of our needs. But what happens is that we want more than what we need. Second point on verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. How do I do that? See, the command is to delight yourself in the Lord. This word means take exquisite delight in the Lord. So when life goes bad, we tend to focus what? On the problems that arise around us. So when this happens, we become defeated and depressed and sad and fall into sadness, and then we eventually fall into what? Temptation and sin. So the word delight in the Hebrew definition means to pamper or refresh oneself or take one's pleasure in. Man, talk, you say this. Delight yourself right here. All you need to know is in his word. So, we are challenged to let the Lord be the focus of our attention. If we can focus on four W's. Who he is to us. What he has done for us. Where he is taking us. And last, how much he loves us. So even in the darkest day can be endured because we know something better awaits us down the road. So what's the comfort from verse 4? When we are lost in him, then our will and our desires will be lost as well. However, when we rejoice in the Lord, he will give you according to his will the desires of our heart. When these happen, he will lift us up out of sadness and fill out of glory. You know, Ayana mentioned to me that in Bukit, well, not in Bukit, right now where she's at, she's what they call A school, which is where they do their, you know, learning their job, what they're going to be doing in the military. And when she shared with me, she said that a few weeks ago, they have already seen 2 people commit suicide. I'm like, well, that is like, they just got out of the Navy. They just got out of boot camp. That was a hard thing. And now they are supposed to be learning their job, and you have 2 people that just committed suicide. See, when the Lord is our delight, we will only want the things which bring him glory and which please him. So when we arrive at that place, God will open the windows of heaven and give us every desire of our heart. So what's the comfort from verse 5 and 6? The whole emphasis here is that when we are walking in faith, placing our burdens unto the Lord, he will take care of us. It's that simple. We may not like the way we are called upon to walk, because believe me, whoo, he's going to be with you. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to be the way you want it. It's going to be the way he wants it. I have come to realize, church, that God is never hurry about my worries. He's never hurry about my worries. He does not get excited when I struggle against the situations that I have. What he's looking for is for us to trust him, for us to be obey his commands, for us to yield, for us to have a total dependence on him in the middle of the struggles of life. That is difficult. Trust me, I know it is difficult for us to just yield completely to God. But he said, if you do this, I'll take care of you. His promise to me and to us is that our faith will never be in vain. Psalm 37:7, consecrate your weight. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for what? For him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. Because of man who brings wicked schemes to pass. You are the defender of the weak. You comfort me. We're told in this verse to what? To rest. How do we do that? In the Lord. To rest in the Lord in way. How do we do this when there's so much noise around us? There's just so much noise. How do we just block those noises going on and just concentrate fully on him? See, the word rest means to be silent. Then we are told to not fret. The word fret means to be or become angry, to become hot, or better yet, heated. That's what that word means. It carries the idea of getting ourselves worked up into a rage over the condition of the world. I know, trust me, I get angry about the injustice. I'm sure some of you do. Tension is not of God. Satan uses this to confuse many people. We are to learn to relax, knowing that God will take care of all things. things. See, our duty during the difficult days of our life is to be patient. How do you do that? How do you be patient and be silent? How? While the Lord works out his purpose in our lives, that's what he's telling me. Well, let me give you an illustration here. It's not easy for us, but this kind of attitude was displayed for us by the Lord Jesus himself. I want you to go with me to the book of Isaiah. And I want you to go to chapter 53. When you think about this, when we read these verses, we're going to read Isaiah 53, verses 7 through 9. And think with me. You know, he was abused, he was mocked, when he was crucified. He did not respond, but endured his affliction and yielded silence. He said he was oppressed and treated harshly. Yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants. That his life was cut short in midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. So regardless of our burdens you are called to bear, learn not to complain. I got to learn not to complain. But to bear it for the glory of God, waiting patiently on him to work out his will in my life. It's not easy. He didn't say it was going to be easy. But it's an attitude that God can bless and use for his glory. I say this before many times. It's not about us. So point 5 on verse 8. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. We need to conquer our wrath. So we are commanded here to refrain from anger. It is easy to get bitter at God. It is easy to get bitter at the church. It is easy to get bitter at your brother, at your sister, at your parents, at your spouse. When the problems of life mount up against us. Think about it. See, when we see the wicked live their lives of ease while we walk through the deep, dark valley, there is a tendency to become angry. And sometimes even angry with the Lord. But why this is happening? See, we must be careful that we do not abandon righteous for evil in the day of our affliction. Illustration is, God's will for us is that we stay the course. Remember Paul? Paul was in 2 Timothy 4:7. What Paul endured during his years of ministry, I'm sure probably none of us will get to endure and suffer like Paul did. But I love what he ended up with saying, that he had fought a good fight. He had finished the course. He had kept the faith. See, I want to be able to say the same thing. I'm sure you do as well. Psalm 37:9-11 says, for the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit what? The land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. That's a promise. God is working in you to develop his image more perfectly. Sometimes this requires him to put pressure on us. And we don't like it. We don't like pressures. Because we don't know what to do with it sometimes. So never give up. Rather give in to him and he will see you through. So let me conclude. I know all of this sounds difficult. It sounds like we're just to lay back and do nothing about life, to take it just as it comes. But the truth is that the commands in these verses are to call to action. It is to trust in the Lord, is to delight in the Lord, is to commit ourselves to the Lord, is to rest in him, and is to refrain from anger. See, God is calling us to take control of ourselves as we yield to him. See, I may not be able to control when things happen in my life. But I can control how I respond to the things that happen in my life. That's the key. How do I control those things? Things is going to happen. He said it. You will have trouble in this world. So let us determine this today, that we will seek the Lord's way even through the difficult times that we are experiencing today in our life. Amen? Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word, Lord. Lord, I pray that you allow us to trust you more, to delight more in you and in you alone. Lord, I am not the best person. Sometimes I get angry because I see things that are injustice. Lord, I just ask that you keep me away from those situations, that you seal my lips as I hear these things or I see these things, Lord. Lord, I just ask that you protect each of us here today, Lord, and those that couldn't be here with us today, Lord. And we just thank you because your word is true. Your word is true. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.